Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
NBA, I mean, we're back. Tim Bontemps from ESPN joins us to help us break it down. Tim, we appreciate a couple minutes on a Friday. So I'm understanding that the vote was 29-1, and the only team that voted against the proposal was Portland. What was, or you, hopefully you know it, the rationale behind Portland of voting against the NBA's plan?
Guys, the Blazers were in favor of one of the other proposals that the NBA had discussed. You know, over the past few weeks, really four different things that emerged. One was just having 16 teams in the playoffs come back and play. One was to have all 30 teams come back and play. One was to have a play-in tournament for the final playoff spot, which is what the NBA chose. And the other one was to play kind of this group stage format where you'd have four groups of five teams. The teams with the two best records in each of them would then move on to the second round of the playoffs. And I think Portland's players, it sounded like from, you know, reading C.J. McCollum and other people's posts on Twitter yesterday and also just kind of from general word around the league, I think they thought that their best chance to make a deep playoff run was to be in a setup like that. So they voted that way. But ultimately, everybody walked into that room knowing this thing was going to pass yesterday. So, you know, I get why Portland would vote in solidarity with their players if they wanted to do something different, but I think everybody knew this is what the final outcome was going to be.
So, Tim, we heard, I mean, obviously you mentioned the 16, we heard 20, and they settled on 22. What, I mean, at the end of the day, why did Adam Silver in the NBA choose the 22 teams?
Money. Money is why. Yeah. You know, the simplest way to do this would have been to just do the 16 games. Or 16 teams and just play the playoffs. But for the players don't get paid for playoff games. So, you know, the NBA, when the season ended, there were, I think, 259 regular season games still left to be played. If you just went straight to the playoffs, that would mean the players would have to give back a significant chunk of their salaries. And by playing, you know, each team's going to play eight games. You know, they're calling them seeding games, but they're going to count in the standings. By playing about 88 regular season games in Florida, the NBA is going to knock that number roughly down by a third, which, you know, gets the amount of money the players have to give back to a more manageable place. And it also helps the teams, you know, get to, you know, closer to where they need to get to with the local affiliates in their cable markets to, you know, they have contracted to show their games. So, you know, clearly the NBA was trying to come up with as many ways as they could to try to make back some of the money that the league is going to lose. You know, both now and going forward because of what's going on with the virus. And, you know, I think ultimately by keeping home all the teams that have nothing to play for, this was the best way to satisfy all parties here. Everybody gets to make some money out of it. It adds a few weeks, but not a lot longer to the season in terms of going to Orlando. And you don't have teams that are going down there and having to quarantine and be there for 4 or 6 weeks that have no point in being there. Every team has at least the opportunity to get in the playoffs and then play for a title.
Tim, yesterday we saw a little bit of a back and forth between Adam Silver and Rick Carlisle on how the NBA was going to handle higher risk individuals, specifically coaches. Do we have that resolved now?
Well, that was definitely interesting. You know, Adam Silver went on Inside the NBA last night, you know, they as part of their special on, you know, race relations in America, and they were talking to him about coming back, the league coming back and voting yesterday, and he kind of just threw out there at one point that potentially older coaches might not be able to be on the bench, and they might have to be in the locker room or somewhere else. And that clearly was something that he had not discussed or the coaches were not aware had been discussed. There was immediate pushback. There was immediate pushback from the Coach Association. Like you said, Rick Carlisle put out a statement. He's the head of the Coaches Association. But listen, this is something that we're going to have to watch over the next couple months. The league, you know, although yesterday was a good step forward for the league to be able to have the league come back, you know, start the process of the league coming back, there's a million things that still have to be sorted out, and this is one of them. I mean, you have a lot of coaches. You know, Greg Popovich is 71. Mike D'Antoni is 69. Alvin Gentry is 65. Rick Carlisle himself is 60. Terry Stotts is 62. I think there's eight or nine coaches that are at least 58 years old. And as we've seen, this virus is something that, you know, is more destructive on older men. So, you know, and that doesn't count assistant coaches. That doesn't account for trainers. You know, that's something, that's one of many things the league is going to have to come up with a firm answer to before they get down to Orlando and get this thing started. And that's just one of many. I mean, there's a lot of stuff still left to be negotiated.
Tim Bontemps with us here, ESPN NBA writer. So here's one, and maybe they've decided this, and maybe it's not decided yet. So let's just, for argument's sake, say Memphis winds up with the eight seed. But there are, I don't know, two or even three teams with the same record that are within four games of Memphis. How does that work?
You mean how is that going to work out?
Well, if they have the same record, let's just say New Orleans, Sacramento, and or three teams, whatever, have the same record. How is there like a little playoff between those? Is there a most wins? Is there a winning percentage to determine who winds up playing Memphis?
That is one of the questions that I am still trying to get an answer to, and one of the things I'm most curious about. There's two things that I really want to know. One is, what happens if teams tie for eight? Or in your case, right, teams tie for ninth. How are you breaking those ties? And also, I want to know about the rosters, because last week I reported when the NBA did the GM survey and asked all 30 GMs what they thought they should do, virtually every GM thought there should be some sort of expansion of the roster. So are they going to allow players to sign with teams? Like, could, say, DeMarcus Cousins sign with someone? Are they going to allow for a couple extra guys on each team in order to help account for any injuries or illnesses that take place during this thing? Those are a couple of things beyond the obvious, where we still don't know what the testing protocol is going to be and what the safety plans are for this. But that's like I was saying before, there's a ton of stuff. Like yesterday it was like, hey, the NBA's back, here's this big announcement. But like, there are a million details that they still haven't firmed up. And, you know, until we know what exactly all this stuff looks like, all of that stuff looks like, we're going to have an incomplete picture of how this thing at Disney World is going to go.
Tim, there's been some talk, and again, I mean, depending on who you ask, no home court advantage because these games are going to be played in Orlando. Are they still thinking about trying to find ways to give the higher seed some sort of an advantage as we head into the postseason?
I doubt it. My colleague Dave McVenneman wrote that story the other day that some of these higher seeded teams are trying to come up with creative ways to allow themselves some kind of an advantage being in Orlando, but I don't anticipate that happening. This is not going to be fair, really, in any way, right? Look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. They were on pace to have the best record in the league. They're going to have home court advantage throughout the playoffs. They have a great home court in Milwaukee, brand new arena, and they're going to have to go live in Orlando for 3 months and play at a neutral site with no fans. But that's just the way this is going to be. Like, to go back to your question before about why was this the format that was chosen, it essentially was the best of a series of bad options. And I think that, you know, as far as this goes with, well, what about these teams with better records? How are we going to reward them? I think it's just one of those things you're going to have to go, yeah, it sucks you don't get home court. It sucks you don't get some kind of advantage here, but this is not an advantageous situation for anyone. And so we're just going to have to play this out. I'd be pretty stunned if the league did something to change the rules of the game in order to give one of these teams an advantage because they're the higher seed.
Tim, I wanted to ask you about the other eight teams that won't be participating in the restart, because it would seem like they're at a competitive disadvantage. You're talking about the league stopping play in March and not resuming the next regular season until December. You're talking about 9 months before these teams would be able to play competitive basketball together. I just feels like for already bad teams, you're putting them at an even greater disadvantage.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to be a problem spot. But the league is trying to come up with a solution for that. I believe there's going to be some kind of mini camps for those teams where they'll be able to have their players come in and work out. It won't exactly be the same as playing in games. But if they can come in and, you know, kind of go through the same testing protocol the teams are and then play, you know, scrimmage for a couple weeks and, like, get in, like, real practice time, it's obviously not ideal, but I think that the league is going to try to do that as kind of a way to bridge the gap. And also, like, I mean, you're right that the time off isn't great, but if the league schedule is going to be as truncated as it actually is, or as it seems to be, and you're going to have teams coming back after, you know, maybe 6 weeks after the NBA Finals to start the next season, there could actually be some hidden benefit in, say, a team like the Warriors, right? They have all these injuries. They're not there. They might walk into next season, you know, with Steph and Clay and Draymond back and be fresh as daisies and actually be able to get off to a really hot start. So, you know, for teams like the Knicks and these other teams that aren't going to make it, I do think they'll have a chance to get some workouts in and, you know, in order to try to balance that. Because the league is cognizant of the fact that, you know, just like it's not fair for these top seeds that they're not going to have the advantage of being at home in a game seven, say, it's also not fair for these other teams that aren't going to be there that, to your point, have to spend 9 months in between games trying to have, you know, young rosters get better and be ready to get back on the court whenever they get the chance to.
Tim Bontemps with us here, ESPN NBA writer, 98.7 ESPN. So it feels like the NBA is a little hamstrung because I know they want to start next season later, and right now they're talking about December 1, but you can't really push it back that far because you have the potential, and that's all it is now is the potential, of the Olympics in July of 2021. So, I mean, it feels like they're kind of, you know, six on one hand, half a dozen on the other of what the right thing to do is here as far as starting next season.
I think it would be absolutely insane to impact your season because of the Olympics, personally. I mean, look, as it stands right now, it's hard for me to see, just looking ahead, that the Olympics can actually be played or held. But even beyond that, if I'm the NBA, like, I'm focused on what's best for the NBA, not what's best for the Olympics. And, you know, I understand that there are some players who would want to go to the Olympics and might be playing in the playoffs in July and August if the season goes until, you know, say mid-August. But even if you just took say you just took players off non-playoff teams and went to the Olympics, you'd still have a really good team of American players, right? I mean, you could like, just look at what the team would be this year. You could have Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. You know, those are guys that are just coming off the top of my head that you could take from an American team and put things together. So, look, I think it's safe to say when you saw the immediate pushback to the December 1st date yesterday, that whatever the start time of next season is going to be a contentious thing because the players union is not going to want to have players coming back basically a month after this thing ends to start playing again. But I personally, if it was me, I would not be worried about trying to stop before the Olympics. I would be just saying, what is the best thing for my league? And then figuring things out from there. Because, look, the NBA at the end of the day is not really partners with the Olympics. It's just something they kind of do. And I think they need to worry about what they're trying to do ahead of, you know, what may or may not happen in Tokyo next summer.
So, Tim, depending on what happens, I mean, the suggestion was the season should start on Christmas Day. That's the NBA's day, right? You own that day. Yeah. Would this be something that sticks around long term? Like, if this ends up working out, season starts in late December and they have success, will this be the new NBA calendar, you think?
I think it's very possible. But I'm also not sure what the plan is, right? Like, you know, I don't think they should stop before the Olympics, but, you know, if they are trying to rush, like, to me, when that came out yesterday that the season was going to start on December 1st, at least hypothetically, my question was, why are they trying to do that, right? Like, what's the point? And it would seem the point would be to try to end it sooner. And whether that's to avoid the Olympics so you can have players go, or it's so you can go back to the old schedule the following season, I would think there'd be some reason to be trying to jam it in sooner when there's really no reason why you couldn't start, say, a month later, right? You couldn't start on Christmas if you didn't want to, or if you wanted to. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. There are people within the league who have been advocating for the league to shift to a December to August schedule for a long time. Steve Koonin of the Hawks, who's a long time he's the CEO of the Hawks now, but he's a longtime executive at Turner. He's been very loud about that. He gave a whole presentation about it at the Sloan Conference. You know, I see the value in it. I mean, you know, I know in New York, obviously, you know, the Yankees and Mets are big business in the summer, but that's really it. And there's not much else going on. And if you can avoid having, you know, 2 months of your season go up against the NFL or 2.5 months of your season go up against the NFL, and instead have your playoffs go into the summer when there's really nothing going on, I think there's a lot of value in that. But yeah, that's, again, like, there's so many things that have to be set up about this season, and that's even before we get to what is the schedule going to look like next season? What is the salary cap going to look like next season, right? Like, if the salary cap drops because of revenue, you could see teams like the Nets having to trade players, the Celtics having to trade players, the Warriors having to trade players. I mean, you could have teams like the Warriors could have an absolutely gigantic tax bill if the cap drops $10 or $15 million from where it's supposed to be. So, I mean, it's, again, like yesterday was a good first step. But for both this season and next season, I can't emphasize enough, there's just so many things left for the NBA to figure out before they get this stuff squared away and they can, you know, hopefully throw the ball up in Orlando on July 31st and start playing.
Tim, you're leading me right to what I wanted to talk about, because there's been a lot of conversation in Major League Baseball about the financial impact of this pandemic and that dictating how some small market teams do business and what they do in the player acquisition season of the sports calendar. And so I guess when looking at the NBA, is that as real a concern as it is in baseball? Because with baseball, it's a little bit of a different dynamic because they haven't played a regular season. I just wonder, is that as real in basketball when they've played the majority of their regular season and they will have some semblance of a postseason?
I think that I've always thought that figuring out this season for the NBA was going to be a lot simpler than figuring out next season for the NBA, for all the reasons you said and for all the problems baseball's having. Now, the difference is the relationship between the league and the players in basketball is as good as it's ever been. The relationship between the league and the players in baseball is about as bad as it's ever been. And that, I think that could be why, you know, baseball is partly why baseball is having so many problems right now. No matter how good the relationship is, there's a lot of things that have to be sorted out from the financial side, and that's going to be messy and it's going to be difficult. And until that's officially done, it's going to be a real long slog, and both sides are going to have to dig in and do a lot of work to try to figure out the right way to balance things, not just for the teams, but also for the players and everybody else.
Tim Bontemps with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I don't know if you've seen the Vegas odds, but the question goes beyond that. The Vegas odds were like 700-1 for Brooklyn to win the title. And all of a sudden they've dipped down to like 40-1 or 45-1. I guess with the presumption that maybe Kevin Durant returns for this postseason in Orlando. Do you think that's realistic that he could come back? And, you know, it's been a long time now since he suffered that injury.
I wouldn't rule it out, but my guess is that he won't play just based off of how things have gone. I mean, the Nets have said a bunch of times he's not going to play. I would expect he's not going to come back in a unique circumstance like this. But at the end of the day, it's all up to Kevin Durant. So, you know, everybody can say what they want, but if he goes up to the Nets and says, hey, I'm going to come back and play, they're probably going to say okay. So my guess is he won't play. Rich Kleiman, his agent, business partner, said a bunch of times he's not going to play. But, you know, Kevin could ultimately decide he wants to, and then he will. So, you know, that's going to be something people are going to be paying attention to. I think there's a little question about that. I mean, certainly it would be interesting if Kevin Durant showed up in the bubble and started playing. That would undoubtedly lead to some ratings.
All right, Tim, speaking of the bubble, last one for me, and you're not allowed to call it a bubble. It's a campus. Don't call it a bubble. As far as you know, I don't know if you can answer this or not. Will players, once they're in the bubble, in the campus, will they be allowed to leave, or are they stuck in there as soon as they test negative and are allowed in?
I mean, my guess is that there's not going to be very much freedom of movement, and you're going to be there, and you're going to be there for as long as your team is playing. You know, it's not going to be fun, but this, again, to go back to the fairness thing, this isn't really about fair or fun, right? This is about everybody finding a way to get this business moving forward. That's really what this is all about. It's going to be a far different experience than anyone is used to. It's not going to be comfortable at times, and it's going to be awkward, and there's probably going to be some frustrations about it, but ultimately it's about everyone's safety and trying to make this thing happen. And, you know, if that bubble is a firm place and you can't get in and out, that's going to be about the safest place you could possibly be, even if you're playing in all these contact games, right? So my guess is the NBA is going to be erring on the side of, we're going to really try to make sure that there's as little contact with the outside world as we can, so we can get everybody through this safely and healthy. Get everyone through this safely and healthy, and be able to crown a champion and move on to next season.
All right. Well, Tim, listen, we appreciate you helping us break down the return of the NBA on July 31. Good stuff, and stay safe and stay healthy. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff. That is Tim Bontemps from ESPN right here. He does a good job. Very nice. All right, so there we have it. But, you know, it's funny.
But, see, that makes the most sense, though, Dave. I mean, that makes the most sense. I don't understand why.
You can't leave the area.
Yeah, because he's right. I mean, if in theory everyone does what they're supposed to do, there should be close to a 0% chance anyone gets COVID-19.
If you're locked away and you don't leave and they don't let people who haven't been tested in theory, you shouldn't have COVID enter the facility.
Makes perfect sense. But again, that's putting a lot of trust in your players. But I mean, you control. I mean, that's in that spot. You control who comes in and who goes out.
You control all of it.
And I actually heard too, here's the thing though too. I actually heard a good point, and I didn't even think about it at the time. Is one of the role players, they didn't say which team, said, "Of course I'm going to do what I'm told. I don't want to be that guy that gets our star player sick." Could you imagine being the guy, like if you were the, could you imagine being the guy on the Lakers that doesn't obey LeBron what he's supposed to do, goes out, comes, gets LeBron sick?
But you know what?
I mean, you'd be like, you would be able to go back to.
You saw how you got the reaction from Rudy Gobert from his Jazz teammates. And you're talking about somebody that's an all-star, defensive player of the year. You saw that reaction. So if you're a role player and you end up getting one of the star players sick, you know that's not going to end well for you.
Yeah, so if it means that you're scared to do the right thing, then so be it.
You'd have to sell your house. You couldn't go back. There was no way you couldn't go back to
sell your house.
You'd have to.
You'd have to sell your house.
You imagine. Here's the other thing, though, too. I also thought about this. Tell me if you guys agree with this, though. Knowing that next season could start, you know, a month, like training camp could be a month after your season ends, right? If you're one of the teams in the finals, how much more incentivized, and you're already incentivized, but you think all of a sudden now someone like LeBron, knowing that, you know, next year's schedule, like he's not going to have much time for rest, that he realized like, the sense of urgency to win this championship now is going to be through the roof?
You would think so. I mean, you have a great chance to win it. There won't be any travel. You're in the prime of your career.
You're fully rested.
Fully rested. Your team's as healthy as they'll ever be. It's a golden opportunity to add another title.
Yeah, I think there's pressure on LeBron. I think there's pressure on LeBron to win regardless, though. Like, there was pressure on LeBron to win coming into this season. And I guess maybe it ratchets up a little bit just because the degree of difficulty would be a lot higher for the 2020-2021 season, but I mean, he still got pressure on him to win. That,
always
to me, that hasn't changed.
He's LeBron James.
Yeah. And he's wearing a Lakers uniform.
You could almost say there's less pressure on like some of the teams, though. Like if the Clippers don't win, is it really that big a deal? It's a bizarro season.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, if the Clippers don't win, it's not that big of a deal. I'm with you.
Right, think now. No, I mean, you can say that, but I mean, I also would say that, I mean, how many times during the course of your career do you go into a playoffs where you're fully rested or your team is fully healthy?
Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or rarely.
That's a good point.
So I mean, that's
fully,
why I mean,
they're going to be fully rested. You're going to be starting the postseason after not having played for months.
Yeah, months, yeah. 8 games, and then let's go.
But 8 games, yeah. But here's the question. I mean, you got to figure they're going to baby like the Lakers and Bucks players. You're not even fighting for seeding. You already have it. Whatever the one seed is, you already have it locked away. So all you're going to do is just play the guys.
It's like preseason.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to play them so that they get into decent game shape, and that's it. You don't care about wins and losses.
Yeah, I'm not worried about how LeBron James is going to come back either. I'm not worried about if there was one team that I'm not worried about their conditioning or whether they'll be ready to go, it's the Lakers.
Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Well, next week we're giving our listeners the chance to upgrade their work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo. We're going to give you 3 chances a day. Between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, email a photo of your work-from-home setup to 98.7 FM at ESPN.com with the subject line Echo, E-C-H-O, and include your name and number. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. To listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN. It's all very simple. We really make it very, very easy for everybody out there. All right, Rick, pressure on you tremendously. It's a Friday edition.
Of Nobservations. Let's hear the music.
Yeah,
come on.
It's a Friday edition of Nobservation. So, Santi.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas. It is Friday. Can't wait for a beautiful weekend, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Supposed to be, by the way, weather-wise, perfect weekend.
I do miss the weather reports. Selfishly, I miss the weather reports.
Well, you know, honestly, with everything going on...
The weather like, outside is weather.
It felt inappropriate. But if you guys would like me to return the weather reports, it's something I'm willing to take under consideration.
I personally would like it. You kind of set me up for the rest of my day. Like, I don't usually know going into the show what the afternoon is going to look like. So if you could give me that,
I mean,
every
we could
show
start right now if that's something you guys wanted.
Absolutely, I'm all for it. The day.
All right. Well, doesn't start out great.
Report.
Doesn't start out great. I mean, the first return of the weather report, it's overcast and there's rain from about 3 o'clock on through the rest of the day.
Ugh.
So listen, I got to call it like I see it. That's the truth. Fog currently that might continue. High might get up to 75, 77, but thunderstorms are on the way. Sunset, 8:23, chance of rain upwards of 50%. It's very humid, 87%. Not all that windy, though. Southwest, 5 miles an hour currently. Feels about 72-ish right now. Pressure, the index is almost at 30. Okay. Visibility, not great. You can't see all that far, which might be good in current times. 1.5 miles. You can go out without any sunblock. The UV index is at 2. Air quality index sitting at 33 and holding steady. And the air quality is considered good.
Very thorough report.
That's right.
I actually like this. This is going to – the suits, because the suits always need to be involved. They have to get their fingers involved in the show.
They're going to want to, what, sponsor it or music behind it or what?
Oh, definitely music. Their heads might explode. You're talking about now a segment with segments inside of the initial segment. This is too much.
Yeah, it is a lot. And
this is groundbreaking stuff. This is going to be groundbreaking because I actually have another segment I'm going to throw into Nobservations. So I'll have three segments for the price of one.
So is this what we're going to do when Nobservation starts right after we hear the intro? I'm going to now launch into my weather report and then you're going to take it over with multiple mini segments?
No, just one segment. I'm going to give, so you'll give weather report. Uh-huh. I'm going to try to find some good news. Like today's good news is, NHL teams can reopen their facilities on Monday.
It's great news.
Terrific news. That's great news.
Let's
fantastic news. And selfishly, I'll also bring up the point, because I'm trying to be an NHL insider, I got the NFC South for the NFL, trying to get to be, you know, passing Woj level NHL. I did say that teams will be reseeded. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They won't be bracketed, and guess what happened? Teams will be reseeded, which is
nice.
So it was a good call by you.
Good call, more good news. Okay, so that's the good news portion. I'm
so
also going to give
you. If the Rangers win, odds are that they'll wind up playing the top seed in the first full round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the Rangers are one of those teams coming fully healthy. The way Shesterkin's played, they could.
They got enough talent to get it done now. They got enough talent.
You wouldn't want the Rangers to beat Carolina and be the top seed and have to play the Rangers. That would not be a great matchup.
The Rangers are scary. I mean, between Panarin, Zibanejad, yeah, Kreider back. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers could do some damage, man. They could. They usually thrive in these kind of seasons that have, you know, weird situations.
Well, let's hope you're right.
KBO update. And this bothers me because I got to pick my team and they're having a ton of success. Can't pick the right New York teams, but I picked the right KBO team. Dinos convincing 13-2 win today against the Eagles. They're 21-6.
They're what?
21-6. 21-6. Wow. First place.
I mean, that's if
first place
in a half season. They'd clinch a playoff spot if they that was American baseball now.
Oh, it's terrific. Yeah. And here's the now I'm going to sprinkle in another mini segment. This is going to be new to the show. This is probably going to stick because I like it. I could care less if you guys like it, but I think you'll like it. This game is sweeping the nation. It's a game show, actually. It's sweeping the nation. And here you go. I got the music and everything, which makes it a segment. The game show is. And closest wins, try to guess what time Rick DiPietro was in bed last night.
Now, is this a daily segment?
This is going to be a daily segment. Try to guess what time was in bed last night.
Is this Price is Right rules, where if I go over, I lose?
Yes.
Oh, so okay. I have to go under then.
You have to go under and closest to the actual number wins.
All right. Now I think the winner from the day before should go first. Do you agree, Chris?
Yes, I would agree with that.
All right. So I'll let you go first because it's the opening day. Unless you'd like me to. It's up to you.
No, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go with 8:52 p.m.
No. That's no way. No way. The fact that he's starting a segment, no way. I'd almost be willing to bet he was sleeping by 8:52. I'm going to go so far under knowing that he went over. I'm going to say 7:12.
That's a pretty good guess. 7:22. I was in there, teeth brush, 7:22.
Yep. It's like a baby.
Come on, man.
I'm like an infant. 7:22.
What time did the kids go to bed?
Well, see, the pool.
Milo tucked you in?
No, he's wrecked. The pool wrecks him. We got the new game where we swim the whole pool. He thinks it's a fun game, which is to Dave's point. They just, you ever have to run your kids?
Just run them.
So I'm swimming them. And now he's a wreck. So by 7, he was out.
7:22, you went to sleep?
That's 7:22.
Oh, wow. God.
Teeth brushed, you're everything.
Like a baby.
I'm an infant.
Do you get a lullaby as you're putting your head on the pillow?
Yeah, the only difference is when I wake up, I can go pee myself. No one has to change my diaper. That's it.
No Dr. Seuss?
I can't believe no, I didn't going eat Dr. to Seuss bed something. At 7:22. Jeopardy's not even over by that
no,
point.
They haven't even finished Final Jeopardy.
that's the first thing I thought too. Like the Keisha was just ending, and I was already like brushing my teeth.
What time do you eat dinner? It's like you're living in Miami. What time are you eating dinner?
Five. I get around five.
5 o'clock. Yep. Oh my goodness! All right, let's go. Come on.
All right, here we go. Observations, and this is again just someone's head's going to explode. I'm going to give you another update. Yesterday was the Norvo report. He's a coach at FSU.
Yep.
He said he had one-on-one conversations with everyone. Apparently, that's all been figured out. They actually did have a team meeting. Norvell actually says, last Saturday evening, I sent a text message to each player individually to present an opportunity for open communication with me. Many members of the team chose to respond and have more in-depth conversations about issues and feelings. Marvin, who's Marvin Wilson, was right. It was a mistake to use the word every. Particularly at this time, words are important. I'm sorry. We will continue to communicate and work together to be part of the solution, making our world a better place for all in capitals.
Well, he said discussions, though, right?
Yeah, he said one-on-one discussions.
You know, I don't know if you can classify text messages as discussions. I don't know. The way he framed it, it made it insinuate that he talked to every single one of his players.
Well, it made players uncomfortable to the point where they... Yeah. Responded on social media, so this is a big cover up.
Yeah, he's being even more of a knob.
Yeah, you double down.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
A double knob.
Yeah,
which could be dangerous.
Only one shy of the unprecedented triple knob.
Well, that's unheard of.
Right. I mean, that's never heard of. Yeah,
triple.
You gotta
knob,
hit. Man. Yeah, you gotta hit the fetish tab for that.
Oh my god. Go ahead.
You gotta go incognito mode for that one. Apparently, they're still watching. Before I get to did it happen in Florida, Dave, you're going to love this, and this is going to put you in a tough spot because you don't like the Yankees.
No.
But I know you have a ton of respect for Derek Jeter.
I do.
Did you see what Derek Jeter said if they would have lost to the Mets in the Subway Series?
No.
What he would have done?
What did he say?
He said, if we didn't win the World Series against the Mets, I think I would have moved out of the city because in my mind, it was a battle for New York.
It's true.
Love that. I love that.
It's true.
Love
and
that.
His hit to start game four completely changed the momentum. The home run off Bobby Jones, awful.
You know, by the way, he hit 409 in the series.
Yeah.
En route to the most valuable player.
Luis Soho
also said he could have taken, had they not won, he would have taken the other three rings and just thrown them out the window.
See, I love far. It. I love it.
It's Derek Jeter, man.
I don't feel like people give Jeter enough respect in terms of how good he was in critical moments. Like, everybody says that he was overrated as a player, and I'm just like, you say that, but he was at his best when his best was required. Isn't that what you want from the best players on the team?
Yeah, see, I think that, like, his regular season could be lost at times, but I think that his best moments were in the biggest moments.
The numbers were identical, though. The numbers offensively were identical, which is amazing. I mean, when you look at his playoff numbers, I think it's pretty close to a full regular season worth of numbers.
Yeah, but if your postseason numbers are the same as your regular season numbers, that's great because you're going up against the slop during the regular season, and you're going up against the best of the best in the postseason.
Well, that's what Rick always says about Eli Manning, right? Like where other players might drop off or tail off, Eli Manning has the same level of productivity in the regular season as he does in the postseason. And we all look at him as clutch in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like people take shots at Derek Jeter's legacy, and they call him overrated. I just don't understand that.
Because they're jealous. It's because they're jealous.
I get that. I would understand that.
Yeah, well, I think we're all a little jealous of him.
Yeah. All right, here we go, boys. Did this happen in Florida? Not only this is a story, this also has video attached. So if you'd like to hear the story and then go watch it, you can actually do that. I'm actually watching the video right now. A woman was captured on video berating a mother in a park for her young son driving a toy car, get ready for this, without a license. The woman says, the woman actually, and this is caught on tape, she's actually yelling at the mother, "These kids are driving all over the place," the woman says. The mother says, "They're playing, that's what the park is for."
That's such a great response. "They're playing, that's why we, in fact, have a park."
Older woman says, "I never saw a car in here before." Mother says, "It's a Power Wheels car, ma'am, it's a toy." Which she points out to the woman. Woman says, "You know what bothers me is you have a little kid in here and he doesn't have a driver's license. He's just a little kid."
Was she serious?
Was dead serious. Watch the video.
Was she sober?
And the car
is apparently sober.
The car you could pick up in two hands, right? This is not like a giant.
It's a power wheel.
It's clearly a Power Wheels, yeah. Like, watch the video. It's clearly Power Wheels.
What does it matter with this woman?
Google woman scolds mom for letting kids drive toy car. You'll be able to see the video.
In the park.
In the park.
They're driving all over the place.
Without a license.
Without a license.
Did that happen in a Florida park?
Yes, it happened in a Florida park, yes.
I don't think so.
You don't think so, Dave?
Like I've said, we're all Florida. It's one big Florida. So I'm going to say no, it didn't.
Wasn't I'm going with yes. It sounds like Florida. That absolutely sounds like Florida.
Canty goes Florida. Santiago, did it happen in Florida?
I'm trying to think what states would never have somebody have a Power Wheels car. Like, those are universally known. Like,
exactly.
I can't wrap my head around it.
And how fast can this thing go?
Maybe 20 miles an hour.
It can't go more than 3 miles an hour.
No, don't go.
No,
it does not go 20 miles an hour. Yeah. No,
I said 3 miles an hour.
No, that was
six.
Me, Dave.
Top speed is six miles.
So yeah. even if they're completely out of control, I'm thinking that the woman could have just sidestepped this speeding car.
Very concerned.
They don't even have gas and brake pedals. They're like, literally, you hit a button. You hit the button and you go.
You go faster on a bicycle than you do a power wheel. It's ridiculous.
They're basically made for toddlers.
Yes, correct. Not toddlers, but yeah. I mean.
But according to this woman, they're not made to be driven all over the place by toddlers.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to say not Florida because I can't think that nobody has them in Florida.
Correct. This is not Florida. This is California.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yes.
This was California. Here's, Chris, where you got it screwed up. If this was Florida, it would have been an adult actually driving the power wheel.
You're right. That was my mistake. You're right.
On the street with no license.
Adult. Yep.
Which I think we've done a story. Right. I think I've actually done an observations where the woman she got a DUI for driving her kid's power wheels.
Oh, God.
I believe that was an actual story.
Actually, I just found a video during a search. A lady in quarantine gets in her kid's Power Wheels car, sticks her legs out the front windshield, and just lets the kid drive around the lawn with her while she's sipping wine.
Yes. This is what we're dealing with. All right, last one for me before we go to break. Apparently, we got some ESPN on ESPN beef going on right now. I didn't realize this until I picked up the post this morning. Max Kellerman, who just completely disrespected the NHL, saying that it's not even one of the four major sports and no one in the U.S. really cares about it. Linda Cohn was not happy.
Yeah, she was livid about it.
She was not happy.
Well,
so there's a story
right
in the post now. Yeah, she says it's insulting to this great game, those associated with it covered, and to the passionate fan base here in the United States. Yeah. Not very nice.
No. I don't like that he said that at all. I mean, you must be intense.
I don't either. I'm furious.
And first of all, what does it mean it's not one of the four major sports? So what are the four major sports in this country then?
He'd probably say, I think he would probably put college football in there, right?
Yeah, but that's football. That's one of the major sports. You don't separate.
No, he would say
football.
NFL. He would say NFL, NBA, no. Major League Baseball, and college football.
No, you can't separate football.
You can't separate football. That, yeah.
It's a different league.
It's not a different sport.
It's the same sport.
Listen, I can't get in his head. What he said was disrespectful.
What he said is ridiculous.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.